Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Pei Beit, which is, I hope, a place where not many of you have spent a long evening. So therefore, we can start without any hangovers this morning on daf Pei Beit. And just trying to delay another moment, at least let's get another couple of people in here. Come on, guys. All right, so we've been discussing the question, but those things that Rabbi Yossi considers to be dvarim that are yesh b'minu nefesh, and that he disagrees with the Rabbanan on the broader scope of inu nefesh, despite the fact that we do find one place where he seems to be rather have a low pain threshold. And we explained that away. That was about the laundry. We completed that sugya. Then the issue was, on all of those issues that were not considered to be nidrei inu nefesh, according to him, whether you still have the option of the Dvarim Shebeino Leveina. So this is where we were holding, and we'd like to take a look now, after having defined the entire Perek, even though the Mishnayos are Stam, as being the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, which Rabbanu was Medayik yesterday, we would like to look a little bit closer at the things that the Mishnah says about a particular store or a particular Medina, and see whether that really holds true the way we understood it, Kipashtus. And we're going to do this by looking at an interesting mimer of Shmuel that on the surface runs counter to what the Mishnah seems to be saying. So Shmuel is reported over here as saying a fascinating thing, that the first part of what he says is obvious. It's only a beginning of his mimer. So he is beginning saying something that's quite obvious. Obviously, if a person says that Kol Nedarim, says that she is not allowed to give any type of pleasure to some person, right? So, fine, that's none of her husband's business at all. It's not Beino Leveina. It's not Nidrein HaNefesh. That's not an issue. Obviously, it's not an issue. We're only saying it as an introduction to what is an issue. So here what Shmuel says, look, anything, even though it appears to you to be extremely limited, it's still considered to be something that a husband can be made for, and we're assuming can be made for because of the fact that it's inui nefesh, except if she says that I am not allowed to be a source of hanov for Mr. So-and-so. So, you know, I can't give him breakfast, I can't drive him to work, whatever. That's none of your business, and you cannot be made for that. But, here's the Chiddush, if she says the opposite, that I am not allowed to be nehene from Mr. So-and-so, then he can be made for the neder, which is what? Like, I mean, we've been talking about nidui in a nefesh, where she is going to be seriously deprived. I mean, so the fact that she osers one particular person, that's considered to be nidui in a nefesh? How do you explain that in light of the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that even if she osers the peirot of an entire country on herself, that the din is not inui nefesh, letting her be nene from another country. So the husband can always buy, as we understood it, it doesn't mean this country, but the husband, instead of buying her Turkish figs, could always buy American figs. You know, it's no big deal. So Yavilo mi medina acheret. Now, how in the world is an entire country not considered to be inui nefesh, but one person is considered to be inui nefesh? It doesn't make any sense at all. Omer of Yosef, we did not understand the Mishnah. Actually, the Mishnah is referring to a case where she didn't say the peros of that country. She said, you know, you're such an idiot. You keep buying me these Turkish goods. I hate goods from Turkey. And if you bring me anything else from Turkey, it's usur b'ana. But that doesn't mean she can't go and buy goods from Turkey. I mean, that's pretty standard. Anything, if you do it, it's no good. If she does it, it's fine. So if she's usuring him, she's only usuring the issue of his constantly bringing something that gets on her nerves. Okay, so since the Mishnah says that it's accessible to her, all she has to do is go buy it herself, so therefore it's not considered to be nidrei inu nefesh. Now, something is seriously askew with this answer, because that's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says that the solution is he could always bring her something from another country. Why are we talking about he could always bring her from another country? We should simply say what you just said, that it's not considered to be inui nefesh because she could always buy her Turkish figs by herself as long as her husband doesn't bring it, or ask somebody else, or make an order over the internet. But the point is that her husband won't make it, right? So, I mean, then the Mishnah is completely misleading. It says, well, he can always buy Paris from some other place, right? So what it seems to be saying is that it's absolutely essential that at the same time that this particular thing is accessible to her, there's going to be another problem. And what's the other problem? The other problem is the question of whether she will have access through her husband. And if she doesn't have access to this kind of thing through her husband, then it adds up to a real neder inui nefesh. So if there's no possible way for her to get this through her husband, then the fact is that it would be called inui nefesh even though it was accessible by herself. And that's why we needed to explain that. Masha Inkin, in this case, we don't have that problem because we are talking about only the person that is one individual, and therefore, it's not an issue. All she said was that I won't be netted from that person. So we now understand that the Mishnah needs two options. It needs an option that if something is available through a husband, if it's one particular country, and or that it would be available through her if the particular thing was not being brought from the husband. This is how Rabbi Yosef says. And we're talking about the Ka'amra Shetavi. We mean you buying that stuff, not me. Well, if that's the case, then how do you explain the next case in the Mishnah? The next case says that in the event that she osers a particular grocery store, so Perot Chen Vani Ze'alai Eno Yochola Hafer. Wait a second. If one individual's Hana is oser on her, why? I don't know. Maybe she needs to carpool with this guy, but she doesn't. Well, maybe she will. So in other words, limiting her access to things that if she doesn't have are going to be very painful. I mean, carpools are the worst, right? So she's not going to be able to carpool with this guy. I mean, she might as well commit suicide. So that's considered to be inui nefesh. Fine. So if that's the case, so certainly if she cannot buy anything from a particular store, I mean, that's going to be terrible. And yet it says over here that the baal cannot be made for. How do you explain that? No, the same way. I mean, Rabbi Yosef will give the explanation that he gave before. You know, she said that anything that you bring from that store, but that doesn't mean she can't go buy it from that store. So she can still get hana through that person. And she still can get food through her husband because he could just bring her from a different store, which, as we said before, she does still have to access the same thing through her husband, but obviously it doesn't have to be the same perot through her husband. And these particular perot she still has access to through herself. Put it all together, and we don't have any kind of inui nefesh. So that's still good. Okay. You know, you can get away with this for a while, but I'm going to keep reading from this Mishnah, and it's not going to work. Let me read the next line in the Mishnah, okay? Lo aita parnasato ela mimenu areze yafer. So now you said, if the only way that he's going to get credit is through this particular store, then he can be mefer. Does this make sense? If according to you, the Mishnah is only talking about a case where she said, you can't bring me stuff from this store. That's what she was talking about, right? So then why is there a problem? She can always go to the store. She can always get hana'a from this store. So why just because he cannot get these pears because he doesn't have credit? So why is that inui nefesh? I don't see any inui nefesh over there. So if you're ready to say, look, I just want to comment one little point on the side, which may be a bit confusing before we get to the end of the Gemara. Didn't we just say a minute ago that the Ran explained the sugya that there has to be some access through the husband? Right? That's what we said. And there's the reason that the Mishnah gave the wrong explanation. He can always buy her American figs. You know, he can always buy her from some other supermarket. That, why did we need that? We needed that because she has to have access to the same type of thing through her husband. And it's not enough to say she'd be able to go get it herself. That was what the Ran said. The Mishnah's taking for granted. So why over here, if the husband cannot get her anything because he's not going to have any kind of credit in any other store, so why isn't this considered to be the reason that he's able to be made for? Even though you're saying, but she can go, okay, but you said before she can go is not enough. It has to be that she can go and have access, but that it's also possible theoretically for her husband to bring her pears too, right? Ariel, Yitzi's smiling and you're not smiling. Are you looking at the wrong screen? So in that case, we'll have to say that the reason that it's not considered to be off limits to the husband is because, look, if the store is granting him credit, then that means at some point or another, he does pay his bills, right? It's not that this guy is constantly for the past 30 years charging things in the store and the guy's crazy enough to keep allowing him to charge. It's just that he doesn't have a charge account anywhere else, right? So if that's the case, then it's not that she's locked out of this because her husband's not going to be able to bring her food. I mean, near the time where he gets his salary check, at that point, he can bring her food. It doesn't have to be that it's accessible 24 hours a day. Nobody called it a 7-Eleven, did they? So in that case, there should be no problem. Okay, this is just a side point. So now getting back to the mission. So you're telling me over here that it's not referring to a case where she does have access. It's not referring to a case where she said, only when you buy from that supermarket will I not eat it. But if I buy, it's fine. No, that's not the case. All right. So then if that's not the case here, so then that means in the ratio of the mission also wasn't the case. So don't give us the shtick that the Mishnah didn't really mean that it's not considered to be inui nefesh, even if it's from one thing, that the Mishnah is talking about a case where she only answered it where the husband does it. That's not stacking up correctly over here, in which case the Mishnah is contradictory to Shmuel. So what the heck are you trying to tell me? The Reisha has to also be talking about the Kamaisahi. She is being noder even where she herself was the one who went. So we're back to the same problem. And then if that's the case, then what Shmuel is saying is not true, according to the Mishnah. Shmuel has the audacity to suggest that it's considered to be inui nefesh, even if there's only one person, and it's only like, I don't know, maybe ultimately she'll need to carpool with him. That's enough to call it nidri inui nefesh. I mean, that is absolutely not supportable by the Mishnah, that asers where there's an iser of an entire country, and it's not considered to be inui nefesh. You're right, says the Gemara. The Reisha, indeed, is definitely saying that eno yachola afer, even in a case where she's going to bring it herself, not where it's coming through him. So why is it not a problem with the Shmuel? It's not a problem with the Shmuel because we already said that the Mishnah is only going aliba de Rabbi Yossi, remember? That was what we just finished saying, that the cases in this parak are being defined by Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, what does that have to do? The Mishnah, of course, aliba de Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, remember, has a very high pain threshold in describing what's considered to be inui nefesh. He certainly would never have agreed that if you aser one particular person on you, of course it's not inui nefesh. According to Rabbi Yossi, shaloch al peirot is not considered to be inui nefesh. It's only considered to be dvorim shebein olavein maybe, but not more than that. And didn't we just say, the Amr of Unakula Pirkin Rabbi Yossi, anyway, we said that the whole thing is certainly going aliba de Rabbi Yossi. Okay, the truth is, again, I'm sure it's troubling you that we should need to say this. I mean, we're talking about the Mishnah where it says Beferish, it's Rabbi Yossi. I don't need Rav Huna now, right? When he was talking about the rest of the perek, I'm not asking now from the rest of the perek, I'm asking from the Mishnah that said, so of course Shmuel could be going, I'll leave it up on it. I don't need to establish that the whole perek is Rav Yossi, do I? It's true. I don't. The only reason that we mention this is because the Mishnah is coming up. If you hold that they're going Aliba de Rabbanan, would definitely be a problem of Shmuel. It would not work out according to Shmuel, because later on we say Sheini Nenem in Abriyas, but that's not considered to be Inui Nefesh, and it doesn't say Divi Rav Yossi. So obviously, if you're not going to explain all of those Mishnayos we have in mind, now wait a minute, come on, I mean, Shmuel doesn't make sense, even according to Rabbanan, if the next Mishnah is the Rabbanan. So, okay, in order to make it clear that we're not going to be able to ask any questions from the following Mishnayos, we just said, and cool it, it's fine, because the whole parak, as we know, is going, Aliba de Rav Yossi, de Amar Rav Huna, Kule Pirkin, is Rav Yossi. Now, when it says, Eino Yochola Hafer, what it means is, Eino Yochola Hafer Mishum Inui Nefesh. But he can be made for Mishum Dvarim Shebeino Leveina. Whoa. Weird. What does this have to do with Shmuel's statement? Shmuel just said that, what happened to your picture, Elrohi? Zoom came here, put you directly on top of Barnea, just to... You were waiting for your moment, I see. Excellent, excellent. I think that puts even Barnea to shame. Yes, indeed. He can try to hide his face with the cup, but he's laughing. Okay. And Gabi's got some serious flies this morning that he's taking apart, I'm assuming, with those gloves. I mean, this, I don't understand. We're learning Sefer Shmos. It says, Hasiroti mi seval shichmo, kapav mi dud ta'avorna. What does that mean, kapav mi dud ta'avorna? The Farshim explained. When Yosef was working as a household servant, he was busy washing pots with the hot water. So kapav mi dud ta'avorna means I took his hands out of the sink so he doesn't have to wash dishes anymore. So what's going on with you? You think you're Yotze Kapav Miduta Avarna just by putting on thick gloves? Maybe. All righty. So, moving on. Why in the world do we need to mention this? What does Beino Leveina have to do with the Rabbanan? I mean, we just said the Mishnah is Rav Yossi, right? And Shmuel's going Aliba de Rabbanan. And now we throw in, and of course, when we say you can't be made from Mishum Nidrei Nefesh, we'd still allow you to be made from Mishum Dvarim Shebeino Leveina. Now you understand that those words have absolutely no meaning? They're completely ridiculous? They would only be meaningful if we were trying to work things out of Libet Rav Yossi, and somehow or other Rav Yossi said you can be made for. What in the world are they doing here? This doesn't even bother you, so I won't tell you. I mean, if nobody cares, why bother discussing it? Maybe bring Levia back there, Alon. She cares. All right, I'll be malamit schus. Maybe you care somewhere. So the point in these words, which don't seem to make any sense, says the Ran, is because up until now we've seen a certain relationship between how far the Rabbanan are willing to go and how far Rav Yossi is ready to go. And therefore, if you're going to tell me that Rav Yossi wouldn't even allow Hafara in terms of Dvorim Shebeino Leveina, so then it would be very difficult for us to believe that according to Rabbanan, this is Mamish Nidrei Inui Nefesh. So because of that, we try to even things out a little bit and say, yes, the truth is that Rav Yossi would have allowed in this case even something that is so limited and is obviously not Nidrei Inui Nefesh. If the Rabbanan hold it's Nidrei Inui Nefesh, so then he would at least agree that it's Dvarim Shebeino Leveina. A very, very weak kind of answer, but that satisfies the Ran. And so for our purposes, let it stand until we do better research. Amr Yehuda Amr Shmuel. How about this? This is a completely new issue. And what it's nogea is an understanding of the pasuk. Again, we've been examining the psukim that have to do with hafara very, very closely. So the discussion of isha and dafka isha, and the question whether it's possible to appoint an apotropos, to appoint a shliach. Is there such a thing as the das of a shliach? What is the relationship between the ability to be Mekayim and the ability to be Mefer? Yisha Yefereno, Yisha Yekemeno. What is the meaning of the Torah's comparison? It's Shaloba Lichlal X, Loba Lichlal Y. We've been talking about Yeferenu. And Yeferenu, that's our problem. Because Yeferenu would mean he has to be Mefer the entire Neder. Now, what if the neder is only partially a neder of Nidreinu Nefesh? We never considered that. In other words, if there are various things that she asers, can he be mater part of the neder? Or if he only tries, I say mater, I don't mean mater, of course. Can he be made for part of the neder? Well, the Torah says no. If you're made for only part of the neder, that's not considered to be hafara. But what happens if only part of the neder is considered to be Nidreinu Nefesh, and the other half isn't considered to be Nidreinu Nefesh, which we're going to see examples of now? So, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmua. Let's say that there's two loaves of bread available for this woman to eat, and she answers herself on these two loaves of bread. What's the din? So, Nadar Mishtei Kikarot. And one of them, now here's the deal. One of these kikarot was a lovely, totally deathly wonder bread, all made out of garbage, but it looks beautiful. So, and of course, everybody loves that kind of bread. The other was actually a whole wheat loaf that looks absolutely awful. Only animals eat that kind of thing. At least that's what people used to think. And therefore, this woman, when she answers both of those loaves, only the wonder bread is considered to be Inui Nefesh, and certainly the really good-looking, awful Lechem Kiver, that's not called Inui Nefesh. Eating that is called Inui Nefesh. It's amazing how things change, right? So, okay. So now, he can only be Mefer, one of them. Why all of a sudden? What is going on with Yitzi and Ariel's camera, which only affected Shmuel last night, which Zoom put in the same place? I think this is a trick of Zoom. I don't think it's a problem of your camera. It must be that it's Mida Keneged and Mida of Sesame Street. That's what it is. You want to watch something? We'll make you unwatchable. Huh? What do you think about that? So the question is, beautiful, beautiful. I'm not really Christian, but it's a beautiful screen, let me tell you. So I wish I could see clearly enough to be able to read the daf from that distance. Okay, so now, can he do a faras nedarim on part of the neder? And that's one question. The question also is, if he does that faras nedarim on part of the neder, and it's possible to do so, is the hafara chal on the entire neder? So what would be the din? Om Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, nedarim shtei karot. One of them is Inui Nefesh, and one of them is not Inui Nefesh. So the halacha is, says Shmuel, that since mitoch shehu mefer lemitana, he could certainly be made for the neder on the loaf of bread. That's so good-looking white wonder bread. So because of that, he can also be made for it to the one that she's not misana from. Whereas Rav Asi says, Rabbi Yochanan said, not like that. Rabbi Yochanan says he can be Mefer, the one that is Inui Nefesh, but he cannot be Mefer, the one that is not Inui Nefesh. The Ikari Amri, others learned that slightly different, and that namely, that Boimine Rav Asi and Rabbi Yochanan, Nodro Mishtei Kikarot Bachat Mitana, Ubachat Ein Mitana Mahu, and Rabbi Yochanan answered, Mefer lemitana, ve'eno mefer l'she'eno mitana. Fine, but it's the same thing. The question is whether it came directly from Rabbi Yochanan or whether it's a quote from Rav Asi. So what would be the machlokas over here? So the Ran understands the machlokas to be like this. Since it says, yeferenu, then that means that the Torah is saying you do have a right to be made for this neder. So therefore, Shmuel holds that if you would not give him the right to be made for the entire neder, including the loaf of bread she'eino mitane, then ipso facto, you are depriving him of the right to do hafara at all. Because since the Torah said he must be made for the entire neder, and it's a entire neder or bust, and therefore if you would be saying you cannot do the part of the neder that is eino misana, then we would basically be saying to him, sorry, buddy, but you cannot be made for this neder. So then what you're doing is you're taking away his koyach of afara, even on things that are dvarim, that are yesh b'minu nefesh. Therefore, it must be, says Shmuel, that by the very fact that the Torah gave you the rights to do afara, it's clear that you can be made for the entire neder. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan holds, the Lashon of Isha Yeferenu is going back on La'anos Nefesh. So when it says, the Kol Neder Koshvas Yisr La'anos Nefesh Isha Yeferenu, that means the Baal has to do a hafara of all aspects of the Neder, which were Inoy Nefesh. It doesn't mean he has to necessarily undo the entire Neder. And that he has done. By making it possible for her to eat her wonder bread, there is no longer any problem with the neder as inu nefesh. Fine. Asks the Gemara on Rabbi Yochanan, Esve, ha'isha shenad Rabbi Nazir v'ayta shota yayin umitam alameitim. Suppose a woman makes a nazirus, and she's over on the Surim of a nazir, she's drinking wine, she's being mitama to the dead, which is an Isser D'Oraisa, so of course, Harezo Sofeget et Arbaim, she gets the Malkus Arboim. Okay, now that's, of course, quite obvious. It's an introduction to what we're about to learn, namely, Hefer La Ba'ala, Vehilo Yadash Heferla. What about if the husband doesn't have to tell her that he was Mefer? So what if he was Mefer without informing her that he was Mefer? And she's going around and she's continuing. She's so proud of herself. I don't give a hang about that netter. I'm a Nazira that drinks wine. Sort of similar to some of the nuns around. That's not wine though. But so anyway, the idea is, that over there, obviously, Enos of Vegas is Harboim, Midia Raisa, the Neder, is canceled. But hold on a second. I understand the whole thing. If a husband, you're claiming, Rabbi Yochanan, that if she asers a number of different things, that only the one that is Inui Nefesh will be Mufar, based on the Pasuk of Isha Yeferenu. Yeferenu, that is to say, all of the Inu Nefesh, right? That's how you're learning it. So then when the Baal was made for the Naziris, he wasn't really made for the whole Naziris. He was only made for that element of the Naziris, which is painful to her. Now, obviously, if she's a Nazira and she's suffering from a housewoman's, disease, something of an alcoholic. Anyway, not drinking wine may be Inu Nefesh. But certainly you can't tell me that not eating grape pips, that's considered to be Inui Nefesh. That's all part of the Naziris, right? So she can't be Betamei L'Meisim. She can't eat even the dried grapes and the pips. And I mean, not all of that is Inui Nefesh. So you're telling me, but if the husband was Mayfair, then she's not going to be able to get a Malkus D'Oraisa. Why not? He only dealt with the wine. And over here it says she was going around and she was being over on all of the Naziris. I'd explain that. I mean, why don't we say that he cannot be made for the things that she doesn't have tzar from, in which case she should be sofeget. The dilma, by the way, does not mean dilma. Sometimes we utilize the word dilma to mean, I mean, look, you know, obviously that's included, wouldn't you think? So it's just sort of a loose word, but it certainly doesn't mean maybe, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, wouldn't matter even if he wanted to. It wouldn't have worked, right? Fine. So, okay, so we're talking about that even though he said, I am made for the Nazirut, she's still going to get Malkus for being over on the other elements of the Nazirut, because he wasn't able to. Omer of Yosef. That's because Nizirut is a special case. Nizirut becomes bottle instantly if it isn't a complete Nizirut. And therefore, there is no such concept as a half of Nazir. And therefore, once part of the Nazirut is canceled, because of the dinim of Nazirut, not because of the dinim of Nadarim, but because of the concept of Nazirut, the Nazirut disappears. And because of that, there's nothing to do with the case of canceling half of the which loaf, the wonder loaf or the other loaf. And because of that, the Nazirus itself is kaput, in which case we don't have a problem with Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, there's a remez over here, which is going to get us into the next sugya, but that remez we certainly can live without learning with today. And even Baruch Avram, having recently returned from Kupat Cholim and so on, and finally getting off the edge of his seat, even he won't be bothered by the fact that the remez over here is there may not be Nazirut v'chatzayin, but it's mashma there would be a korban for a chatzi Nazirut, because you were only talking about Malkus, and we'll worry about that tomorrow.